Praise God, and welcome to Eve's Corner. I am Prophetess Amina Campbell, and I thank you so much for joining me on today. Eve's Corner is a show about encouragement, enlightenment, and empowerment. We just want to encourage the people of God to keep pressing, keep moving, keep going forward. So again, thank you for joining me today. Hello to my regular listeners, and hello to all of my new listeners. So let me say first and foremost, happy Father's Day to those fathers who are listening. We definitely do appreciate the men of God for who you are and whom you are to your families, to your communities, your churches, even in the workplace. We appreciate you, men of God, and we appreciate what you do, who you are. We appreciate how you keep us covered. We appreciate, you know, those of you who are providers and protectors and are doing things according to the word of God that God has ordained and called you to do, and all those things that God has called you to be. So, today's topic is be encouraged. And I know, people of God, you know, we all go through things. We all deal with things. So I want to encourage you on today. And like I said, that is really the basis of this show. But our topic is be encouraged. And we're going to take that from the book of 1 Samuel. I'll give you some time to go ahead and turn over to that book. It is in the Old Testament, the book of 1 Samuel. We're going to come from the 30th chapter, 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. Now, today will be more of a Bible study of sorts. Hopefully, I won't get too preachy, and you'll be able to follow. You know, I do get excited about the Word of God, but hopefully today will be more of a Bible study. Because what happens is, as people of God, sometimes when we're in the midst of a circumstance, we don't know what to do right at that moment. We don't know how to handle it right at that moment. And we need to be so full of the word of God that even in the midst of tragedy, we can still be encouraged in the word of God. We can still be empowered and able to move on and move from it. And I know that sometimes things happen. You know, sometimes we are taken aback. Sometimes we don't know what to do right at that moment. But sometimes, even as Christians, We have a tendency to allow the enemy to cause us to be depressed and oppressed. And, you know, we get down, but we don't want to stay there. You know, like I said, circumstances happen. But when you say that you are a Christian, when you say that you are a child of God, when you say, you know, that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you're supposed to be able to bounce back from things. You shouldn't walk around depressed and oppressed every day. You shouldn't walk around depressed and oppressed at all. But, you know, like I said, we understand that sometimes, you know, because we are in this human flesh, we do have some human reactions from time to time. But we need to know how to come out of that. We need to know how to shake it off. You know, Mary had a song some time ago, I believe, when they first came out, you know, where they said, you know, take the shackles off my feet so I can praise him, you know, and that's a huge clue for where we're going today. Sometimes we do become bound. Sometimes things do happen, but we are not supposed to stay there, children of God. We're supposed to move on. We're supposed to grow. You know, we're supposed to let these things, you know, that happen to us cause us to grow, cause us to have some hope in Christ, cause us to have more faith in God, even in the midst of that circumstance, even in the midst of that trial, even in the midst of that tragedy. So before we begin to go into the word of God, we're definitely going to stop and have a word of prayer. Because like I said, I know that it happens to many of us. It happens to all of us. You know, it's just a matter of how we decide to handle it at that time. Let's go before the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now, God, for our many blessings. We thank you, God, for how you've already watched over us and you've kept us. You've kept us safe from hurt, harm, and danger. God, we thank you for covering us and continuing to shield and protect us. God, we thank you in advance for what you're going to do in our lives. God, help us to hide this word in our heart that we might not sin against you. Help us, God, to have the word so present in our lives, that the first thing that we do is rely on you and rely on your word, even in the midst of circumstances and situations. Lord, now we bind the enemy on every hand. We bind that enemy that will cause us to want to be depressed, oppressed, suppressed in the name of Jesus. We bind that enemy that will cause us to want to walk around with our heads down and forget that we are already victorious in Christ. We bind that enemy that will make us think that our enemy is each other, the person next to us, because we know, God, that we are not dealing with flesh and blood, but we're dealing with those powers of the enemy, principalities and rulers of this world. We ask you now, God, to forgive us for all of our shortcomings. Forgive us, God, for everything that we have done or said that's not like you. God, we ask you to forgive us of sins of omission as well as commission. God, continue to cleanse us, continue to purify us, because, God, we truly desire to be more like you. In the name of Jesus, we pray now, God, that you touch every listener. Bless them, God, in every way that they need, every shape, form, and fashion, God, everything that they're believing you for, everything they're relying on you for, everything that they know they are depending on you for. We ask you to just bless each one of them, God. Bless their minds, God. Bless their hearts. Heal their bodies, God, in the name of Jesus. We glorify you now, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to go over to 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, as I stated, because on today, again, our topic is be encouraged. Now, I'm going to give you a few pointers, so I hope that you also have a pen and a pad along with your sword, which is the word of God. We're going to write down a couple of things. In our ability to be encouraged, one of the first things that we have to know is who we are. Know who you are. The second thing, we have to know whose we are. We have to know that we belong to Christ. Number three, know what is promised to you according to the word of God. I'll say that one again in case you're writing. Number three is know what is promised to you according to the word of God. Number four, know that you can have peace of mind and you don't have to be discouraged. Again, number four, know that you can have peace of mind and you don't have to be discouraged. You know, in this world that we live in, a lot of people walk around all the time saying they're discouraged, they're depressed, they're oppressed. Oh my God, look what happened. But as a child of God, we have to know that we don't have to fall into that category. We can have peace of mind. So you have to know that you can have peace of mind. Number five on our topic of being encouraged on today is unforgiveness has to go. Unforgiveness has to go. Number six, get up and get back on the horse that you fell off of. Again, number six, get up and get back on the horse that you fell off of. You got to get back on the horse, people of God. We can't just let it go. Get back on the horse. Don't just give up, because that's what the enemy wants you to do. Number seven, an attitude of gratitude makes for a joyful heart. So what is the opposite of being depressed? Well, we have to know that what the enemy doesn't want us to be is joyful. He does not want us to have joy. You know why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. But we're going to get more into that in detail in a moment. Again, number seven is an attitude of gratitude makes for a joyful heart. Hopefully you have all of those. That was 1 through 7. So now we're going to go to 1 Samuel, since you already have your key points down. In the event that I get a little bit wordy today and we go over, you'll already have those main factors. And remember, you can always go back and listen to the show, whether you have a podcast or whether you're just looking on the internet. If you go to my website, which is CampbellMinistries.com, you can also get it at CampbellMinistries.org, and it will refer you to some of our previous shows. So in the event that you ever miss a show, always know that you can go back and look for the show so that you can get that word for the day. Okay, so now we're probably going to read verses 1 through 8 is where I'm thinking I'm going now. If the Lord says something different, then, you know, he'll stop me. But we're going to read verses 1 through 8 if you're prepared. 1 Samuel 30th chapter 1 through 8, in case any of you are just joining me. And the Bible reads, 3 days later, David and his men arrived back in Ziklag. Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They tore Ziklag to pieces and then burned it down. They captured all the women, young and old. They didn't kill anyone, but drove them like a herd of cattle. By the time David and his men entered the village, it had been burned to the ground, and their wives, sons, and daughters are taken prisoner. David and his men burst out in loud wails, wept and wept until they were exhausted with weeping. David's two wives, Ahinoam and Jezreel, and Abigail, widow of Nabal of Carmel, had been taken prisoner along with the rest. And suddenly, David was in even worse trouble. There was talk among the men, bitter over the loss of their families, of stoning him. Now, isn't that how people do? David strengthened himself with trust in his God. He ordered Abiathar, the priest, son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod so I can consult God. Abiathar brought it to David. The 8th verse. Then David prayed to God, shall I go after these raiders? Can I catch them? The answer came, go after them. Yes, you'll catch them. Yes, you'll make the rescue. Now, some of you may be reading in translations that say, yes, you will recover all. Now, this story in itself, people of God, is very interesting to me, especially on Father's Day weekend, because basically, this is what happened when there were no men in the camp. The enemy came in when there were no men in the camp. Now, think about what I'm saying. I know that there are some circumstances sometimes where there may not be a man in the household. But oftentimes when the men are away, whether they're away physically or if they're away spiritually, a lot of things happen in the household with your wives and children when you're not there. Yes, they were away doing their jobs, doing what men are supposed to do. However, there comes a time where you have to be available to your family because an enemy will come in. So even if you have to physically be away working, you keep them covered in prayer. You continue to pray the blood of Jesus cover your family. You continue to pray God's protection over your family, because when the men are not in the camp or not in the house, the enemy will always attempt to come in. Why is that? We're the weaker vessel. Just like with what happened with Eve. She was not with her man, and the enemy came upon her and started planting ideas. So I want you all to think about this concept. Now, knowing first and foremost, talking about the Amalekites, just know that they were an enemy. And in this case, they were a hereditary enemy of Israel. Not because anybody had necessarily done anything to them first, but they were just a hereditary enemy. And isn't that what Satan is to us? We didn't start this with him, but he is already an enemy of man. Because God has made some promises for man that the enemy can no longer have, that Satan can no longer have. He lost that right. So automatically, just know, you have an automatic enemy. And we're talking about being encouraged on today. So first of all, be encouraged in knowing, you know, everything will not always be peaches and cream every day, because you automatically have an enemy. You don't have to do anything but wake up in the morning and he's mad. You don't have to do anything but say, thank you, Jesus, and he's mad. Some of you know, you may just show up on your job, and guess what? The enemy is mad when you walk in the building because of what you carry inside you, because you are a child of God, because of who you represent. The enemy is already mad, and I know some of you can relate to that, so if you want to call me and talk about it, call me at 888-627-6008. Again, that number is 888-627-6008. Because I know some of you know what I'm talking about. When you walk in your job and you can tell that the enemy is mad. When you get up in the morning and all kinds of things start happening. Because the enemy is mad. When you go out to your car and it won't start. Just because you were on your way to church. The enemy is mad. So you have an automatic enemy. So be encouraged in knowing that sometimes it's not because of something that you did. It's just because of who you are. It's just because of who you are. So hold your head up. Now, going back to our story about David in 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, the Bible goes on to say that when they came back, they got back home. The enemy had been in the camp. Now, they didn't kill them, but the Bible says they drove them like a herd of cattle. Isn't that what happens sometimes? Men, you come back home and everything is in disarray. You don't know what happened. Spiritually, physically, it's all upside down. It's because an enemy had been there. But it also lets us know, women of God, we have to be on watch. We have to be in prayer. When they're away, we should be praying also. And for you single men and women, now don't get discouraged here. You still need to keep your household covered in prayer too. So the Bible says that David and his men burst out into tears. They were wailing and they were weeping. Yes, discouragement came. It happens. Like I said, it happens to the best of us. Discouragement came. But while they were praying, they became exhausted with weeping. I'm sorry. They were crying and became exhausted. David's two wives were gone. They had been taken prisoner. And then all of a sudden, the men that had been with David turned on him. And that's what people often do. Oh, if it hadn't been for you. Oh, this is all your fault that I'm going through this. You know, we're quick to want to blame somebody. And especially when it's your leader. We're quick to blame the leader. We don't always look at, you know, what we can do. On the job or in the church, we are quick to blame the leader. Oh, it's the pastor's fault the members left. No, sometimes there's just a pruning away of people who were not supposed to be there anyway. Sometimes it's a pruning away because it's a time for us to grow. So you got to get rid of those dead leaves. Even in the workplace, things go well. Oh, yeah, I did this and I did that. Pat me on the back. Things going bad on the job. Well, if our leader hadn't done this and our leader should have done that. So that's what happened here with David. The people who seem to be with him in the first place, when things go bad, they turn on him, which is even more depressing. And some of us know what that's like. Things not going well in the household. Kids acting crazy. The man is blaming the woman. The woman is blaming the man. We do it. But here again, they went from weeping and crying together. So now, David, this is your fault. So they started talking about stoning David. Now you got to watch your back. You're already going through. You already lost everything. Now you got to watch your back too. But isn't that how it is when the enemy attacks us? He'll attack from all kinds of angles. But we have to know that. Now, I know some of you are saying, now, wait a minute. I thought she was telling us to be encouraged. Hang on just a minute. So getting down to verse 6, the Bible says, did it say somebody came? No, it did not. The word of God says David strengthened himself with trust in his God. Let me tell you this. Other folks don't always show up. And if they show up, sometimes they don't know what to say. Sometimes they may show up and say the wrong thing, but they're there. Some folks show up and don't say anything. They're looking at you, you're looking at them. And then some people won't say anything at all and will call you and just say, yeah, I heard about what you're going through. So you kind of pausing and waiting. Yeah, may not happen. But thank God for the word. The Bible says David strengthened himself with trust in his God. People of God, that's what we sometimes have to do. Don't always look around for somebody else to pat you on the back. But you encourage yourself. You strengthen yourself with your trust in God, because you know God is not just able, but he's willing. So what did he do then? He ordered the priest to bring the ephod so he can consult God. Now the ephod is kind of like a linen apron. It goes under the breastplate. But if you think about it for a moment and think about what the word talks about when it talks about the armor of God, sometimes you have to gird yourself up with the word, gird yourself up with the truth, gird yourself up with righteousness. Because the Bible talks about the breastplate of righteousness. You got to get yourself together. Not only do you trust God, but you got to get up and bust a move. You got to move. You got to do something. So once he got himself together and strengthened himself, thinking about, okay, God has brought me out of way too much. God has done far too much for me. God has delivered me far too many times. That's what we have to say, saints. God has already done far too much for me to not trust him with this. He took care of that, and I know my God will take care of this. No matter what it looks like, as I often say, no matter how it feels. Don't go by those things. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Get up and get yourself together. Get up and get dressed. Wash your face. Shake it off. But he consulted God. When we're going through and it's all kind of turmoil and different situations that we have to deal with, please know other folks don't have the answer. Let it be a confirmation of what God has already showed you if you seek other people for advice. Because sometimes other folks don't know what to tell you. They don't know how to address you when you're dealing with loss. And we're talking about somebody that, you know, you've lost everything. David had lost a lot of things. He lost his family. He lost his stuff. He lost his friends because they were ready to stone him. Here it is that you're weeping and moaning and going through, but you cannot lose faith in God. Be encouraged in God. Be encouraged and get up and shake off those heavy weights that come to so easily beset us or get us off track. Be encouraged and know that you can still consult God, even in your tears, even while you're going through. Go back and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. But be encouraged knowing that he will answer. Because what did the Lord say when David prayed? David asked him, shall I go and get my stuff back? Shall I go catch these people? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. Sometimes you got to get up and get back on the horse, like I said. Sometimes you got to get up and shake it off. You got to get up and try again, start over. So what, you started one business and it didn't work? Look up the story about the guy who started Walmart. I believe his name is Sam Walton. So what, you started a business and it didn't work? Most of the people who are very successful in business failed at other things. Think about it. Everything that was discovered and or created usually comes from a fail first. So you might not always be successful the first time you try to start your business. You might not always be successful the first time you decide to go to college. Some people have to go back when they're more mature and they're ready. Some people have to go back when there's a whole lot less going on so you can focus and get your mind right. Everything doesn't happen for everybody at the same time. But no matter what, you have to get back on the horse. You don't want to keep going around this mountain in the desert like the Israelites over and over again. Nobody wants to do that. You have to get back on the horse. And that's what David did. He asked the Lord, shall I go after this enemy? The Lord said, yes. He told him he would be successful. And that's what I'm telling you. Don't just give up. Don't just give in. Know that you can get back on that horse. Know that you can try again. And when God is with you, you already know you're going to be successful. When God is with you, you already know you're going to accomplish your mission. And for those who are like me, who have already lost, when you get back on that horse, God will restore you. And I'm a living witness. I am a living witness. I ain't talking about what I heard. And yes, that's bad grammar. I like to do that from time to time to make my point. Please trust and believe. God will restore. He won't just restore the stuff. He'll restore the years that you lost. He'll restore your time. But God is a restorer. Think about Job. Everything that Job lost, the word of God says that he got double for his trouble. Think about it. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't give in. Just get back on the horse. It's not over. Your life has not come to an end. shake it off. Now, I know some of you have some stories of encouragement. I know some of you, you know, like I said, have had to deal with some things in the past, and you know God brought you out. Call and give your testimony. There are some people who are listening that need to hear what you went through. There are some people who are listening that need to know that somebody else has dealt with the same situation that I'm dealing with. There's somebody who's listening who needs to know this other person had to consult the Lord and the Lord answered them too. There's somebody who needs to know that sometimes you got to get up, shake it off. Absolutely, positively, you can do this. You can make it. You can handle this. Hold your head up. Don't give up. Giving up is not an option. Now, we've looked at David's story about encouragement. Remember, point number one is we're going to start with knowing who we are. It starts with knowing who you are in the Lord. So one of the first things that you need to know within that is the scripture in Colossians 2 and 10. And I'll give you a moment to get there, because for some of us, we learn better when we can actually visually see the scriptures rather than somebody saying it or quoting it or trying to repeat it. You can put your eyes on this scripture. So I'm going to give you time to get there. Colossians 2 and 10. I know these days and times, everybody's using technology, modern technology. So some of you may be pulling up scriptures on your cell phone. Some of you may be pulling up the scriptures on your computer. And some of you are turning that old-fashioned King James Bible, the black one with the gold letters, with the red writing for when Jesus was speaking. So for you all, I want to give you some time to turn there. Colossians 2 and 10. And again, call me. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your testimonies. The Bible says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies. And I know I say that all the time, but I think that we have to remember exactly what overcoming means. You're going to get past this. You're going to get through this. But you help other people to get through it when you give your testimony. You help other people to get through this and to get past whatever they're dealing with, especially when you've dealt with some of the same things. So if you're there, Colossians 2 and 10 says, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Now, let me tell you why I really like this scripture. And it's a two-part. For one, I like this scripture for knowing who I am, because sometimes we feel like we're just not enough. Sometimes we feel like we're incapable. Sometimes we feel like we just don't have the right stuff, so to speak. Sometimes we feel like we can't do it. Know that you are complete in Jesus. No, not by yourself. You can't do this thing by yourself. I need the Lord every day in every aspect of my life. But usually when it comes to discouragement, it's about the mind. It's about the mind. We have to get our minds right, starting with knowing who I am. I know that I am complete in Jesus. And for some of the single people who are listening, know that you don't need a mate to survive. You want a mate. You'd like to have a mate. But don't be so needy that you cling on to the first joker who comes along, and that's male and female, because you just need to have a mate. No, women, sometimes you have to learn how to get your car washed by yourself. Sometimes, brothers, you have to learn how to cook, even if it's hot dogs. Get it together until God sends that mate for you. But know that it's not because you need to have somebody. We need Jesus. We don't need another human being. We want to have a companion. We all want a companion. But don't need somebody so bad that you become dysfunctional and start feeling like you just ain't gonna make it. You know, I'm 40 and the clock is ticking, and I haven't done this yet in my life, and I haven't done that in my life. No, you're complete in Jesus. You are complete in Jesus. You have everything that you need when you have Jesus. For those of you who may not have a father to spend time with on Father's Day, know that you are complete in Jesus. He's your father. For those of you who, you know, may not have a spouse, you're complete in Jesus. For those of you who have not had the opportunity to have children yet, it's not because something is wrong with you. You are complete in Jesus. For those of you who may not have the dream job yet and you're still working on the job that you have to have until the job that you want comes along, you are complete in Jesus. You're just going through the process, which is what we talked about 2 weeks ago. Just going through the process. But coming back to our scripture in Colossians 2 and 10, the latter part of that scripture says, He is the head of all principality and power. So although we know that the enemy may come at us with all these principalities and powers, these little demons and imps that he uses, or the people that he sometimes gets in to cause us heartache and heartburn, it doesn't matter what the enemy brings. Jesus is still over that thing. He's still over that enemy. He still has power over Satan. Remember, when Satan came and wanted to test Job, the Lord told him, okay, but you can't take his life. God was still in control while Job was going through. Yes, he did allow the enemy to attack Job, but he would only allow him to go so far. And know that that is the case with you. God will only allow him to go so far. But when you realize, I belong to God, I'm complete in him, and he's over everything that I'm going through. He is over everything that I'm dealing with. He is over everything. Sickness, my mind, my finances, when the kids are acting up, when the job seems crazy. Jesus is still over all of this. All of this is still under his feet. So there's nothing that the enemy can bring to me that God is not still in control of. Think about it. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm dealing with, God is still in control of this thing? Absolutely. Absolutely. He can't bring anything at you that God does not allow. Think about it for a moment. You mean my car broke down? My money is funny? My friends are few, but God is still in control. He is still in control. So now listen. The other scripture that I like in remembering who you are is in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 54. Turn there with me. Isaiah 54, and we're going to pick up at verse 14. Now, remember what we've discussed so far, those important seven pointers. And again, remember, you can call me 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. And I'm going to run back through them in case anybody was not on at the beginning of the call. If you missed the top of the show, we're talking about be encouraged. That's our topic for today. Be encouraged. And we got that from 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. But the seven pointers we need to remember is 1, know who you are. 2, know whose you are. 3, know what is promised to you according to the word of God. 4, in this world, there may not be peace, but you can have peace of mind. You don't have to be discouraged. Remember that. 5, unforgiveness has to go because it's a hindrance. 6, get up and get back on the horse. And 7, an attitude of gratitude makes for a joyful heart. And why is that? Because we know the joy of the Lord is our strength. So hopefully you're there now. Isaiah, the 54th chapter. We're going to start at verse 14. And I'm reading from the King James Version with this particular scripture. Isaiah 54 and 14. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. 15 verse says, behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Meaning enemies are going to come against you. They all get together to come against you. Just like those people were doing David in 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. But there's a but when you read the rest of that scripture in verse 15, Isaiah 54. Now we're at verse 15. He said, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. So they can come against you. They can try you. But God's got your back. Think about it. 16th verse says, behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. But the 17th verse is the one that we really, really quote a lot. No weapon that is formed against you. And you can insert yourself in there. No weapon that's formed against Amina shall prosper. Insert your own name. No weapon that is formed against you shall be able to prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now think about that. Anything that the enemy tries to do against you, anything that the enemy tries to do against you, I'll say that again. Anything that the enemy tries to do against you, they might form that weapon. They might get together and try you. The car might break down and have you wondering, how am I going to get to work now? But just know that anything the enemy tries to do, it won't prosper. God will mess around and bless you with a new car. Somebody ran into your car and wrecked it. You know, at the moment, and we heard a testimony on last week. But what will happen? God will bless you so you'll end up with a new vehicle. Now, this is the other part of that scripture. Every tongue that will rise against you in judgment shall condemn. You know, people, especially church folks, we are quick to judge somebody else's situation, and we ignore our own sin. We ignore our own flaws. We forget about the things that we've done because we're focusing on somebody else's sin, or we want everybody else to focus on that person's sin so they can get their eyes off me and what I'm sneaking and doing. But don't you know that everybody that even talks against you, the word of God said, every tongue that will rise against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. You don't even have to worry about it. You continue to walk upright before God. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. So again, this goes back to knowing who you are. This is the heritage of the Lord, the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me. Our righteousness is not about us. As long as we keep God first and remember that this is all about Jesus, we don't have anything to worry about. We don't have to focus on those people. The weapons will form, people of God, but they won't be able to prosper. It's just a matter of whether or not you're going to trust God through these circumstances. The weapons will form, but know that they will not prosper. They won't get away with it. And it'll look like at the time that you're going through when people have you under attack, at the moment, it might look like they're going to win. But please know, please, please believe they're not. Now we're going to move on to knowing whose you are. There are some other foundational scriptures for who you are. That's Colossians 2 and 10. We covered Isaiah 54, verses 14 through 18. There's also 1 Corinthians 2 and 10, which lets you know that you have the mind of Christ. So your mind don't have to wander. You don't have to be all discombobulated, dysfunctional, and confused. You don't have to be all chemically imbalanced, because 1 Corinthians 2 and 10 lets us know that you have the mind of Christ. Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 17 through 19, talks about the power of the Holy Spirit. you have the power of the Holy Spirit to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So if something's going on with your children or even your own body, know that you have the power of God within you when you're a believer. So we're going to move on to knowing whose you are. So for that, we're going to go to 1 John, the 4th chapter. I'll give you time to turn there. I pray that you all are getting something out of this lesson on today. Like I said, I intend it to be less preachy because sometimes we have to know these scriptures. You know, if you write them down, put them on your mirror, whatever you have to do, write the scripture out. Don't just write down the book, chapter, and verse, but write these scriptures out so that you can read them. Put them on your mirrors so that when discouragement comes, when you pass by that refrigerator, you look and say, no weapon that's formed against me will prosper. It doesn't matter what they try to do to me. Write the scriptures down so you can go back from Colossians 2 and 10 and say, I'm complete in him. It doesn't matter if people try to make me think that I'm inadequate because I'm single. You are not inadequate. It's not because something is wrong with you. It's a matter of God's timing. But see, that's what the enemy will try to do. He'll come and try to cause you to believe you have an issue. If you're seeking God and you're doing everything you're supposed to do, you're walking upright before God, God will show you what you need to do. But remember that you're complete in him. It does not take another person to complete you. You're not bringing your 50% and he's bringing his 50%. That's not what this is. You need to be a whole 100% person, each of you. And the completeness is in you. And what makes you 100% is Jesus, not the other person. Because what happens if they leave? Lo and behold, now I'm a half a woman. The devil is a lie. I'm not less of a woman because someone left. Brothers, you're not less of a man because a woman didn't treat you right and didn't appreciate the man that you are. You're not less of a man. You're complete in Jesus. Don't believe that lie. These are the things that cause us to be oppressed and depressed because we don't know what the word of God says about us. Hopefully you're there at 1 John 4 and 4. The 4th verse reads, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who have you overcome? You've overcome the world. And why is that? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The power of God that's in you is much greater. You belong to Christ. He lives in you. His spirit dwells in you. When you're walking upright before God, there is nothing that you can accomplish that you set your mind to do. As long as the Spirit of God is dwelling in you, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. As long as the Spirit of God is dwelling in you and you're being obedient and walking upright before God, know that greater is he who is in you. It doesn't matter what they're doing. It doesn't matter if they look like they're smarter. It doesn't matter if they're taller. It doesn't matter how much money they have. God will teach you how to do a whole lot more with a whole lot less money when you just obey him. You pay your tithes. You sow some seeds and watch God move in your finances. Just do what you're supposed to do. And he will certainly take care of you. How do I know that? Because the Spirit of God dwells in me. How do you know that? You have to know that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So let's talk about some other scriptures as it pertains to knowing whose you are. Philippians 4:19. So because I belong to God, there are some other things that come along with it. So I can't just say, okay, I belong to God and that's just it. That's the end all be all. And we're just all going to sit back and wait to go to heaven. No, that's not how salvation works. When you know whose you are, you also remember from Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, why am I telling you that? Because we have to know that when we belong to God, he takes care of our needs. He takes care of what we're missing. He takes care of those areas of lack. And we have to be able to confess and speak it I have no lack because I belong to Christ. I am not lacking anything. I'm going to have food. I'm going to have shelter. My needs are met. I have no lack in my life because I belong to Christ. Know whose you are. Another supporting scripture for those of you who are writing these down, because I know we're going to run out of time, is Romans 1:7. Know that God loves you. You know, sometimes we feel completely and totally unloved because of folks acting crazy. Sometimes when we start feeling lonely. And again, that's where that oppression and depression comes in. But see, you can be encouraged on today because you know that God loves you. He has shown his love to you in so many ways. But most significantly, we have to remember that he loves us because Christ gave his life for us while we were yet sinners. It's not because we were perfect and doing the right things, but it was because he loved us. Because he loved us, he gave. Know that you are loved by God. Moving on to point number 3, know what is promised to you. Know what the Word of God says that you can have or you should have. Know what the Word of God says about you. See, this will stop all that stuff with the enemy trying to bring discouragement if you know what the Word of God says. Now, we always talk about Jeremiah 29:11, about us having a future and a hope. That's one of the things that's promised to us. We're going to go this time, though, to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, and we're going to start at verse 29. Isaiah 40, starting at verse 29. Now it looks like I'm having some technical difficulties. Bear with me. Hope y'all praying. It's a beautiful, blessed day. And one thing I will not be is distracted. And here we are. You know, like I said, anytime we're using man's technology, sometimes things can happen. So it's always good to still have a Bible in your hand, a physical Bible, rather than one that's found on the internet. Because sometimes, you know, systems go up and down. But again, Isaiah 40, starting at verse 29. And the Bible reads, he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. So when you feel weak, know that your strength will come from God. How is it? Because he gives power to the faint. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Young people get tired too. And we have to remember that, especially parents, you know, when you have grown children, even teenagers, you know, children go through all kinds of things. And sometimes we forget how we felt when we were their age and at that stage in life. We also have to remember how the baby saints feel, for all of us old Christians who decide in our minds sometimes what somebody else should, could, and would be doing while we're judging and looking down our noses. God help us. But the Bible says in verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Just wait on God. Trust God. Don't be discouraged. Don't walk around with your head down. But every time the enemy tries to tell you something negative or put a negative thought in your head, you need to have a scripture ready, a word ready. Like I said, if you have to put them on sticky notes, put them on your refrigerator, your mirrors, in your car, on your job. Put some little stickies in the front of your Bible so that you can go to some scriptures quickly. Because I know sometimes you can't think of a word when you're dealing with certain situations. That's why you have to have your mind right. You have to be ready because this is a fight. This is a fight. It's a fight for your life. But know that as you are waiting on God and trusting in God, he's going to give you the strength that you need. That's a part of his promises. Again, Jeremiah 29:11. That's a part of his promises. He also promises salvation to those who confess and call on the name of the Lord. Romans 10:9. Most of us know that scripture. He promises us eternal life. Romans 6:23. Now going to point 4, in this world, again, there may not be peace, but you can have peace of mind. The world around you may not always be at peace. The world around you may not always seem kosher at the moment. There are killings happening all around us, but that does not mean we give up on God. That does not mean we become discouraged in God. But we have to remember that there is a real enemy out there who wants us to become discouraged and thrown off. Why is that? One of the reasons that the enemy wants you to become discouraged and thrown off is because he knows that if you have joy in the Lord, you've got strength. If you've got strength and you're walking around smiling, you immediately become a witness to the rest of the world. You immediately become an example of what salvation looks like. So you got to keep your joy. Who are you going to testify to? Who are you going to tell about Jesus when you're walking around with your head down? You may have missed an opportunity because you were so busy focusing on your situation, your life, what's not right with you. The enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. We know that. We talk about that scripture all the time, but we forget about it when we're down. We forget about it when we're going through. The next thing we want to talk about very briefly is unforgiveness. We have to get rid of the unforgiveness. Go with me to Romans 8. Romans, the 8th chapter. We talk about this scripture all the time, too. So we're going to go down to verse 35 as we're getting close to time to wrap up. And it's all right that nobody called in today, because I know that there are very many of you who are listening. There are many of you who are just paying attention to the word, you know. And some of you may come back and listen to the show later on, because it's a beautiful day today in most places, you know, and you may be busy or you may just be relaxing, which I'm definitely going to get to for the rest of my day as well. So I understand. Romans 8 and 35. Hopefully you had time to turn there. This is what I want to say about unforgiveness. Remember that unforgiveness is a hindrance. Unforgiveness hinders your prayers. It hinders your thought processes. It hinders you altogether from growing and getting what you need from God. You have to go back and forgive your brother for God to forgive you. Now, with all the stuff that we all know we do every day, let's just be honest. It's the truth. You don't have to admit it. Just nod your head. I can't see you anyway. We all do things every day. Do you want God to forgive you? Think about it. Then you definitely have to forgive other people. How do you know you're harboring unforgiveness? When you see them walking in the room, it's like, oh, Lord, here they come. Unforgiveness. When you see that sister walking in that church with her big hat on and her new shoes and her matching purse, your nose turns up because you remember something she said to you that she might not have even meant the way that you took it, but because you was mad about all her clothes always matching with her matching accessories. And don't let her man be fine. Sisters, we know how we get sometimes. And your nose curls. Unforgiveness. We won't even talk about the jealousy, hatred, and strife. We won't get into that today. But we know. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate. Insert me right there. I know the Bible says us, but you need to take this personal. Don't let anything separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Don't let anything separate you from the love of God. We don't want to be hindered. Get up. Wash your face like David did. Get over it. Get past it. Be encouraged on today, according to the word of God. You've been listening to Eve's Corner. Again, I am Prophetess Amina Campbell. I thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate you. God bless you. Know that if you want to donate to Campbell Ministries, you can donate by clicking on the donate button. You can also write in P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi. The zip is 39236. If you're looking for a church home in the Jackson area, stop by the Word Full Gospel Church. We'd love to have you. All we want to do is love on you and share with you the Word of God. Our pastor is Dr. J.B. Williams. Assistant pastor is Fred Stewart. God bless you is my prayer.